Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Rod Chalk inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Well, let's grab our Bibles. Today, I'm going to walk you through a couple of passages of Scripture. And so I want you to open up your Bibles and just hold them there. I'm hoping that we get to some of these. If not, then I will finish next week of what we're doing this week. So if that is the case, turn to 1 Corinthians, and you can start over on chapter 12 and just put your finger in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And then we want to go in over to Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll start there, and then we'll work our way over to Ephesians chapter 3 as well. So let's just pray. Father, so grateful. I am so grateful for your anointing on our lives. Take my words, take my preparation, take everything, Lord, that has been placed into me this week, and I pray that you would bring it out in fullness of life. In your name, amen. Amen. Well, when I was 5 years old, I had the blessing and privilege to walk to a front of a Sunday school room that wasn't really very big. It's funny how when you see things when you're older, have you ever had that happen? And you go back to a room or back to a place and you're like, I thought this was huge. And it's only a small little place. But sometimes those small little places and those times, those events in our lives, they transition us and they transform us. And that day transformed me. It wasn't just the fact of a regular, you know, in the sense of a Sunday school lesson in that moment. The lady that was leading at that time, she gave an altar call. How old did I say I was? 5 years old, right? So 5 years old, think of a five-year-old. It's pretty amazing when you think of a five-year-old and how, I mean, their attention span, not very big. You know, I mean, just moving around most of the time, little five-year-olds. But this little five-year-old, I heard it. I'm not sure if you're like me or not, but I know people that tell me what they did when they were three and something happened, and when they were four and then they were six. And I'm like, that's amazing. I only have like three memories. And the sense of I have a bunch of memories, but most of my memories are pictures. You understand what I'm saying? You see pictures of events that happened, but this memory, crystal clear. I remember her saying, if you want to give your life to Jesus, come forward. She never used the phrase, do you want to invite Jesus into your heart? And there's nothing wrong with that. But she said, if you want to give Jesus your life, come forward. And this little five-year-old got out of his seat at these little tiny little chairs at West End Revival Temple in Toronto, Ontario, and gave his life to Jesus. And from that moment, and it's not that there hasn't been struggles, you know what I'm talking about? But really my teen years weren't really filled with a whole lot of rebellion and a whole lot of other things and whatnot. We all have our measures. Okay, we all have our moments. If you hear my heart in that, I'm not saying I didn't have any of them, because my dad's sitting over there and he'll remind me of them, right? But in those moments you realize the encounter with God was true and real. Can I encourage you that if you have grandchildren, if you have younger ones in your life, in your house, continually don't have to make it happen. Look for the opportunity that God is giving in that moment. Pray and say, Lord, make the way, open the door, open the conversations. And I remember even later on sitting down with my mom, on the bed and talking about these things. And as I grew up, and I say this, think about a seven-year-old that you know now. And I went to, I remember sitting on the back porch of this, I don't know what it was necessarily, but they were talking about this. One lady was talking about the fact of the Holy Spirit coming into our lives. And I'd heard my mom and dad, and I grew up in the church. I've been in the church since I was 6 days old, just gone in the nursery, been around. But in those moments, that 7-year-old boy, I said, Holy Spirit, come into my life. And I began to, at 7 years old, begin to speak in tongues and begin to see God begin to do a work inside of me. And from that moment, and you say, why, Pastor Rod, do you believe there's no such thing as a junior Holy Spirit? Or in other words, that our kids, when they are filled with the Holy Spirit, I have an expectation that they will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Is because I know it, I've lived it. It's not just something that I say might happen. All my kids filled with the Holy Spirit at different times in their lives, yes. And I remember then at the age of 12, it was almost as if the Holy Spirit reintroduced himself to me. I had had experiences with him from that 7-year-old boy all the way up until the 12-year-old boy with him. And I've shared different times with you. But the Holy Spirit became someone to me that was not as so many churches say that they refer to him as it, or they refer to him as a power, or just refer to him as wind or fire. And I understand that we see that he shows up in Scripture at different times at like a. It doesn't say he is wind. He comes like a mighty rushing wind. When we talk about being a dove, he's not a dove, but he comes like a dove. And so we understand, we get a little bit of his personality because you realize this is the third person of the Trinity that I'm talking about right now. This is not, I heard, I think it was Joyce Meyer say that this is not, you know, the third on the level. We don't have God the Father, the most powerful, Jesus the Son, the second, and the runner-up prize goes to the Holy Spirit. That is not the way it is. We have one God, one. That didn't change when we went into the New Testament. The Old Testament and our Jewish brothers and sisters, they understood one God. And we still have today one God, but we understand one God in three persons. Meaning this, if you think about it like water, we have water. Water doesn't change, and it can be a liquid though. It can be in an ice form, a solid, and it can be in the form of a gas. And we understand that that's all water. That's still water. It's still, you know, it still has the same DNA of water. But when we understand that the Holy Spirit, see, he's the one that's here. God the Father has no body. We understand that he came at one time at different times of the Old Testament. You'll see, and I'm going to use some, okay, if I use some theological words here, you know what a theophany is? A theophany is when God the Father comes down to earth in a human form and introduces himself. And we see, if you can look through the Old Testament, you can find them when that happens. If it's Jesus coming, it's a Christophany. Okay, it's Christ coming before Christ even came, if you understand what I'm saying. And we understand in this then, that the Holy Spirit is the one who lives inside of me. It is the Holy Spirit is the one who empowers me. But those are two totally separate, different things that we can't get mixed up. That we are endued in the sense of that maybe the better way to put this is that we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. And the verses that you were talking about, and if you read those verses in Ephesians chapter 3, and if you read other verses where it talks about, we'll get to that in a minute, but it talks about the fact of becoming a dwelling place. You'll look really carefully at those words because it says words like becoming a dwelling place. So this is something where continuously I am saying, God, I want more of you. I hear it so often when people cry out, Lord, I want more of you. And he's saying, yeah, I want more of you to give me more of me. Come on, right? He wants more of us. You say, well, I gave him my heart. I gave him my life. And yet oftentimes we say, God, here, and you know, you might not say it with your mouth, but we say it with our actions, Lord, don't touch this area. Don't touch that area. And if all of a sudden that area starts to get touched and we're like, ooh, I don't like that. But see, if we want more of the Holy Spirit, we have to give him more. And it's the sense of when I say this, it's so important that you realize that when I talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this is the beginning of a relationship with Him. It's not an ending, if you understand. It's not an event that checks off a box. Do you understand what I'm saying? Where my voice is going there. It's not an event that checks off a box. Yep, did that one, filled with the Holy Spirit. All right, great. It is the beginning of a deep connection and a relationship. And it's more, you got to hear me now, it's more than just the fact that if I do something wrong, I get a little, That's oftentimes what I see the Holy Spirit sort of boxed into, is the fact that He's the one that gives us a little bit of a prick if there's something where we know we shouldn't be doing this. And absolutely, that is true. But He's more than that. Do you know that growing up, He was my best friend? Best friend in the world. Anybody have a friend betray you? Okay, some of you are a little too eager there. We might need to get some ministry. Okay, no, just kidding, just kidding. We all have that. We've all had that experience because guess what? Humans fail. If I haven't offended you yet, you haven't been around me much. It's just the truth. I don't try to do it. In fact, I try really hard not to do it, but I end up messing up. I end up not doing what I should do, and I end up saying the wrong things sometimes. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And you just go, Lord, are you sure you called this guy? Because I keep messing it up. And you see, I know that my calling isn't about whether I get it right. My calling is an understanding and expectation that He anointed me for a purpose. But from that young age, I began to have these experiences with the Holy Spirit. He began to talk to me. And you know, when you say this, if you say this out loud, for example, if you're in mixed company and you say, yes, God talks to me and I talk to Him. That sounds like normal in here, right? You go outside and you're like, woohoo, He talks to God. He's hearing voices, man, what's going on? You know, in this, but okay, what is prayer? Prayer, if prayer to you is just, excuse me, sorry, just spitting out words everywhere, if that's all prayer is, then well done, you checked your box, right? But prayer is this connection. It is this communication. You see, I don't mean to offend in these things, but I never have to invite the Holy Spirit into something. I don't have to do that. When something goes wrong or something's there or whatever, I don't have to go, Holy Spirit, I invite you into this mess. Mm-mm, never. You know why? Because He's right there with me going, oh, that's gonna hurt. Okay, let's get ready to help Him after that one's done. Okay, right, you know, in this, because He's right there with me. I do, however, say, Holy Spirit, what are we going to do? What is this situation? What would you want me to do? And in that moment, what happens though is that there's something, and I'm trying to stay on track here with these notes, but there is something inside that, how do I say this, Lord? There's nothing that can separate me from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing outside of me that can separate me from the love of God. But sometimes when depression comes and when these other things come, it starts to feel like or starts to sound like there is a wall between me and Holy Spirit. When depression likes to, and if you've never experienced depression, then it's something that I pray you never do. But if that comes on you and that melancholiness and that just that defeat of and your hope begins to slip away and all of those things, that's what happens when we allow depression to find its place. And I use the word allow because I don't mean it in the sense that I screwed up. It's sometimes there's different, there's medical, there's all kinds of different things are involved in this. But oftentimes, if I'm battling depression, I have to go by faith that I'm hearing God. You hear me? In those moments, my relationship with Him is by faith, not necessarily always by the sense of feel and touch, if you sense, or experiencing His presence in that way. Pastor Jay spoke last week, and I'm going to try to get on my notes here now, but Pastor Jay spoke last week, and he's been talking about this for a while, but to come and see. But he talked about as well about going to the mountain, right? And those mountaintop experiences are absolutely amazing. But do you know that, let me give you this as a warning, okay? And I say it with all graciousness and all love. And if you don't understand what I'm saying after, ask me. I love questions. I love questions. If you're around me long enough, you know that I got lots of questions, okay? But I love questions as well. Just saying, what did you mean by that? Help me understand that. When I recognize, for me, I just lost my train of thought. Pastor Gary, what was I saying? Ooh. Right, a warning. Thank you. Thank you. Holy Spirit, help. And so this warning is this, is that if you only ever feel and sense the Holy Spirit when you're in church, there's more. This is a great place to experience the Holy Spirit. This is a great place to have an encounter with God. This is a great place when we talk about corporate worship. It wasn't today, again, just one of those things of just being ushered into the presence of God. Just wonderful. But this is just one week. All day long, every day, we can have the ability, no matter where we are, to have an encounter that's a mountaintop experience. Now listen to me. Does it happen all the time, every day, every moment? No, it doesn't. The point is this, though, is that I began to, as a very young child, realize that God wanted to do more in me outside of church than inside of church. And that didn't mean that if I could tell you some of the encounters that I've had in church, lying on the floor, because the power of God was so strong that I couldn't get up, being pinned to the floor because he wasn't done pouring on me, and his presence was overwhelming. And I've sat there as well and saw somebody else having that happen and went, what did I do? Because I feel nothing. You've been there? You stood there where everybody around you, you're like, okay, I got to tune into this radio station because obviously I don't know what everybody else is experiencing in this moment. But in that moment, you see, sometimes God works in such different ways. And one of the things I want to talk about today is the fact of, he said the valley is not the valley is where we are, in the sense that that's where we have this, let me get it right. The mountaintop is where we have these experiences, but it's the valley that we get sent out into. I would say it this way, and I wrote it down. The valley, though, is not the absence of his presence. It's the place of our God-given assignment. And when we have this God-given assignment in these moments, then those are the things where we need the Holy Spirit. We need the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We need it to be something that is more than just a one experience, because we are only going to reach those around us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? We are only going to, but here's the thing. I prepared so much. It was so good. Okay, so I'm just going to turn this page so just that I can, there we go. I want you to hear me in this. I think we're walking into a season where the Lord is expanding our gifts of the Spirit. But what he's got to do for some of us is shut down the big ones so that the other ones will begin to function. I didn't know this was happening with me. I didn't know that he was stretching me to learn another gift, because he began to make the one strong, strong gift a little duller. Now, it doesn't mean it's not there. It doesn't mean it's left. It doesn't mean I couldn't use it, all of that kind of stuff. But it was so strong, and it was my primary or predominant gift of the Holy Spirit to function in. And if any of you can guess what mine is, hey, in there. But it was the fact of what the Holy Spirit had to sit there and say, Rod, I'm looking for you to grow. You're just simply maintaining. I love you, Rod. I love you, Rod. Hang on, Rod. This has nothing to do with my absence of love for you, Rod. This has nothing to do with failure, Rod. This is the fact of I have something new. But it's so easy for you to do this that I need to dull it a little so that you will learn to do this. See, we have this sense when we look over and we think that when it says, let me just see if I can find it now. Right, if you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and if you look at verse 4, it says, there are a diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are the diversities of activities. In other words, there's all kinds of different things, and we could go through them, but I don't have time today to really dive into that. But it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Right. In other words, that the gifts of the Spirit is for everyone around you. Did you hear me? So the gifts of your Spirit is for everyone around you. You need the gifts of the Spirit to be able to do what God has called you to make an impact upon those that are around you. And then it says here in verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now, I had an understanding that as he wills was kind of like you got one and there you go. You might get two, but it's just, and then I began to go over and over many, many years ago now, began to read chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. And it has this powerful word in there. We're going to go back and forth and back and forth in this today. This powerful word in there, and it says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, the whole point to me in this is that we get this image that the Holy Spirit is just going to start, just, you got one, you got one, you got one. Now, the reason he does some of that is because you don't need them all because you're not a superhero. You're not a one-man show. Come on now, one girl show, right? There is this sense of needing it. Okay, I just lost you for a second. Look around the room. Look at these people. You need them. Amen. You need them. And I think if God were to sit there, Holy Spirit were to sit there and go, here you go, here's all of them. What would you need anybody else around you for? It's this sense that we are a body. But see, we've almost though went then, well, I got my one. And see, what this to me means is as he wills is more about the fact of the situations that you find yourself in. I don't do this. Listen to me. I don't do this. I walk up at a situation and go, beep, 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 beep. Prophecy. Let's go. Okay. Or, okay, word of knowledge. I need some word of knowledge. Go over here. I just sit there and go, Holy Spirit, what are we doing? And he's going to give me in those moments the gifts that I need for that specific second that's there. That doesn't mean I don't have to learn. It doesn't mean, again, you're not sitting there deciding you're going to, like we have this image, well, if Holy Spirit wants me to do this, he's gonna. No, he gave you a gift. And what he wants you to do is he wants you to learn how to manage yourself to allow that gift to function within you. And so most of what I do is managing me rather than managing this gift. It doesn't mean that I'm not learning. I have to learn. We understand that so many of the gifts of the Spirit, let's say, for example, we need the discerning of spirits. So much in this day. If you look up what that one is, it's understanding what spirit something is of. And that means that it could be something where this is from God, this is from self or flesh, or this is from the enemy. And when it's from flesh, you don't want to blame someone or place somebody as being enemy. Hear me now. And if it is the enemy, you want to deal with it. But it's understanding this. It's knowing the situations. But see, here's the prophetic call on each and every one. Look around, look around, look around, look around, look around, look around. The prophetic call on you is to look beyond somebody's junk and garbage and find the gold to bring out and show them. And what that means is this. It's not hard to see people's garbage. woohoo, you can see something wrong. Now, that sounded a little sarcastic. I'm sorry. Okay. But seriously, people think that that's their job. Their prophetic job is to walk around thinking, figuring out what everybody does wrong or what everybody's problem is. That's not it. It is for the purpose. If you read again, you go back and you look at the Corinthians again, and it begins to shape, it begins to tell us how this is supposed to work. And we see it in the chapter 14 again, looking at verse 3. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. If your gift is doing nothing but tearing the life out of somebody, you're using it wrong. See, I wish that it was that when I got the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that they immediately came with a manual that I just absorbed and I knew how to do everything correctly. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That'd be so much easier. But it ain't like that. The Holy Spirit comes and he begins to work in ways. I need you to understand something. If you see somebody and let's say that they prophesy and they're very accurate, the last thing you want to do is put them up on a platform or put them up on a pedestal. I need you to understand this, and I sound kind of emphatic with it, but character is more important than prophecy. It's not that prophecy isn't important. You see Paul talk about this. If you can get any of them, pursue prophecy. He wants you to do that because he knows that the life will come from you. Are we leaving a trail of life behind us with our prophetic, or are we leaving a trail of disaster? You know, it's something when God says to us, I want you to use them, and he's very specific on how. And so often what happens with us is that we pattern ourselves as prophetic people, or even if there's very few prophets, okay, but if we pattern ourselves in that way as Old Testament prophets do. And I'm telling you, that is not the side of the cross that we're on. We don't function that way anymore. For them in those moments, it was something that God did in them. I don't even want to bring that in because guess what happens if they're false? Aha, step back just a little bit. I don't want to do that because in those days, now you have to understand what's a false prophet. A false prophet is not something in today's world that gets it wrong. It's someone who has a wrong intent. It's someone that has manipulation on their mind, in their hearts. Now here's what happens sometimes. It doesn't even mean, okay, I'm not branding that person as evil. I'm saying in the midst of this that what happens is that the prophetic gift, and this is way down in the notes, but we'll just scramble around today. The prophetic gift is this. It's so valuable and so important, but it can get affected. There's lenses that we have that are dangerous when mixed with the prophetic if you're on your own. The prophetic was meant to walk together. The prophetic is meant to be the servant of all the other ministries. Did you hear me? If we feel like we are called to the prophetic ministry, then we are the servants of all the other ministries in the church. And the reason being is because it keeps us in the right place. When we stand in the presence of God and I hear something and I say something, what does somebody's mouth do? They're like, can't believe he knew that. And if we're not careful, we begin to esteem that person so much so that we'll begin to look the other way for character and integrity. Come on now, I didn't say perfection, right? So some of you are going, I don't want to be involved because, you know, I'm not perfect. It's not what I'm saying. But there's a sense of beginning to walk in such a character, in such an integrity, understanding also that the prophetic is always connected to the apostolic. Always. Always, always, always. It is always connected to the apostolic. And that connection can happen in different ways, but it's something where so often with the prophetic, I know a lot, I have a lot of, I came from the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. I am so grateful for my history. So grateful for, I grew up in churches that, man, the power of the Holy Spirit was functioning all the time. Yeah, there's a bunch of flesh in the midst of it and God worked it all out. But I learned so much around the altars in those young years. I learned where my pastor would come up to me at different times and he'd go, Rodney, you knew you were either, you know, when I was a kid, if I heard Rodney, I would run and hide, okay? Because you knew Rod, and if you heard Rodney Jeffrey Craig, ooh, run, boy, run, okay, because mom was coming, okay, in that moment. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. But in this situation here, when we begin to realize the power of God beginning to present himself to us and through us, and I want to try to pull myself, rein myself back in this moment. But there is a need for us to be accountable within the prophetic. I said it's connected to the apostolic, right? I believe that the prophetic gift works best when it's under submission to authority. The problem is that when the prophetic gift gets mixed with orphan heart, they feel like they're being attacked rather than being protected. And in those moments, what oftentimes will happen with a prophetic person, if you'll see, especially if they just sort of roam around from church to church and they're not really connected, I think that's one of the most dangerous things I've seen in a long time. It doesn't mean that God couldn't ask you to come to a church in a moment, but there needs to be this sense of, even in my own life, where I constantly remind myself that I am submitted to the authority of the house. Because I hear things, heaven opens up, and if we're not careful, am I making myself clear? You have to stay in humility. I think I've said that enough now. There is something that, to me, the recognition of the gift of the prophetic. So again, back to my journey as a child growing up. I became a teenager, and I wasn't trying to refer to myself as being perfect, because that was far from it. But I began to have new experiences in the Holy Spirit. One day I'm sitting in youth ministry, and you may have already heard this story before, but I'm sitting there and all of a sudden I have this flash vision. And what that means, for those of you that don't know, is that immediately I can see something. And I saw, for example, in that moment, and the Holy Spirit was working on me, trying to teach me, and I saw that my friend Cindy was going to come in from the back of the church on that side, was going to walk down, come all the way down the row, and sit beside me. And you say, well, what whoop-de-doo, wouldn't that happen anyways? You got to understand, Cindy never sat beside me, ever, in there. And that moment, as I came in, I went, and people wrongly call this deja vu, if you know what I'm talking about. I really don't like that term, because to me, that is either the fact of the Holy Spirit is introducing himself at times to us, showing us things. But in that moment, I sat there and went, I knew she's coming in, and I turned around, and I saw her come in the door, and I'm like, I knew she was going to walk all the way down. She never sits beside me, walks all. And then the Holy Spirit gave me exactly what she was going to say to me. And she walked in, she sat right beside me and said this. See, what you have to understand in that moment, it wasn't like she said, and thus saith the Lord, blah, 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 blah. No, she just said, hey, Rod, how you doing? Something along, I don't remember the exact lines, but the words that she said are exactly what the Holy Spirit told me. The reason for that is he was training me to be sensitive to what he was saying and doing and showing. Now, over the years, I've learned that one of the most important things in my life has been to learn that everything I see, I don't have to say. And you say, well, why does the Holy Spirit show me this? And I've had people get so mad at me because I say to them, that's wonderful, that's for prayer. God showed you that for prayer. And they'd be like, because it was absolutely for now, and it needs to be released now. And yet God in that moment, and I walked many times in fear and trembling. For many of you that are new here, when I first came, Pastor Gary says to me, he says, well, you're going to do the prophetic line. She was awesome like this with me. She would just throw me in the middle of it all, and she just expected Holy Spirit to figure it out. But she just said to me, that doesn't mean she didn't train me. That doesn't mean she didn't sit there and Rod, you know, let's talk about this. I'm not saying that. But we did this, we would do the prophetic line at the time. And that's the way it functioned at that time. It's come, something else is coming in this next season. But it probably won't be that. But in that moment, what had happened was, is I would get up to the line and I was responsible. Check this out. Anybody want this? I was responsible to say no to people. Ways to not make friends. I have to sit there and say, some, this is just not God. Some, this is for prayer. And others, it would be, this is, we're going to release this just in a few minutes. And I went to Pastor Gary and I'm like, I don't think I'm all that in a bag of chips. I don't think that I'm like, who am I to make that decision? And I remember her just saying to me, Holy Spirit's in you. You don't need to worry about it. He'll show you. I walked out of the office going, that didn't help. Okay. It was good and it was correct, but I had like, what do we do? And the Holy Spirit's like, don't worry about it, Rod. What did she say? She said, I was going to show you. Okay, you're going to show me. Okay, hallelujah. Better be before Sunday. And I remember him saying to me, red light, green light, and yellow light. And I'm like, yeah, we Sesame Street, something along those lines, right? But I learned that what he meant was, is I walked up to someone before they opened their mouth, and I would get a red light. And what my assignment then was to do was to love them in that moment so they wouldn't think that they were wrong and they needed to be quiet. In other words, like as far as don't ever do this again, you made a mistake. But to understand that I think you're hearing something different. I don't mean the fact that by a red light didn't mean you were demonic or anything like that. It meant at the moment that probably this was their flesh and God was speaking to them about something and they misunderstood it as being for everyone. And in that moment, then sometimes I'd walk up to somebody, it would be yellow, or let's just do green first. And green was like, okay, I don't even need to really fully, let me just hear what you say. Okay, good. Just make sure that it was green. Okay, and good. And we went, and we would go, and we would be ready to release this. But there was a whole lot of training in the midst of those things. I remember when we started, and I think Tony would be okay with me saying this, but Tony would get pictures. I've never seen anybody in my life. I think I get pictures and visions. I've never seen anybody get pictures. She would get picture after picture after picture after picture. The problem is nobody knew what in the world was going on. Because it was just the fact that it was, right? It was the fact that you would see heavens. You'd see a waterfall over here coming down over there. And I began to realize nobody's going to know, like, why? And so I would say to her, okay, that's good. But what's the Father saying through the Holy Spirit through that? And it was hard at times because for her, she got, no, that's your job. I just give you what I saw. Good luck, Pastor Rod. You know, and then she didn't want nothing to do with it. She's like, nope, okay, I can go sit down. No problem. Right? She was eager to sit down in those days. But it was like, no, take it and ask. So that was that sense of, yes, the green, but that was that yellow in the midst of that because there needed to be some tweaking. There needed to be sit there and ask some questions. There needed to be go through. But the point was this, is that when the words were be given, and whoever it was, and I would love it when somebody, we all would function, and it was we didn't want it to become dangerous where it was just about Tony and myself and a few others that are going up there. But I loved it when a child would come up to me and show me a picture, and it was like, this is what I got in the service. I'm like, oh, that is God right there in the midst of this. If someone were to sit there and say, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm just coming to you here. And there's someone that's not here today with us, but she's often with us. And she would just sit there. She was a runner. She would spit the word at me and then she'd run back to her seat. Okay, in there. And I have to run after her, you know, and sit there and say, hey, come on. She's like, no, you do it. You do it. Because truly she didn't want to be seen. And I'm like, no, that's the ones I'm looking for in those moments. Because God wants to use us all. But see, that's corporately here. What we get messed up with sometimes is we begin to think then that we come here and that we have to be, now hear my heart in this. When we come here, we'll often say, go find somebody, pray for somebody, have a prophetic word for somebody. But do you know what I want you to focus on when you come here? Him. I don't want you sitting in your seat with your Bible. Hey, I love you, and I don't know that we've had that in the past, but going, God, what's a word? What's a word? What's a word? What's a word? I don't want you to do that. I want you to focus on him because we're here to worship him. We're here to get caught up in his presence. We're here for him in this. That's why we're in this building. This is not my, although we have an environment here where we're free to go and we're praying for people, but I'm not looking for people to come in here and say, you know, in the sense of feeling like they're on assignment and they've got to pray for every. But when you walk out of this door, truly on your assignment, you walk into a store. Mine is not even a store. Mine's Tim Hortons. I just would like to go have a coffee is what I would like to do. But when I walk into Tim Hortons, oftentimes it's give a word for that one. And I'm a lot of times I'll go do it. But still, sometimes I'm like, Lord, I need you to confirm it for me. But I don't walk up to them and do this. Thus saith the Lord. As everybody turns around and looks at me and wonders what the weird dude is doing. Okay, I don't do that in that moment. I just sit there and say to them, I feel like, for me, I do say, I feel like that I God has given me a word for you. Is it okay if you just hear it and you can decide? Sometimes, you know, there's different ways, but it's that sense of stepping out in faith. And sometimes walking through the fear to know that God is with you and that he's trying to function through you. When we see here, I want to show you something, and our time is, wow, gone. Time is gone. I want to show you one thing, and I think it's kind of rampant again right now, but some of you may have come from a background that's cessationism, where the fact that they say that the gifts of the Spirit are no longer. Okay? That they say that they're from the past. They were there for when the disciples were around, but they're not for us today, right? That's what it is. My questions are really quite simple with this. If that were to be true, why did Paul spend so much time talking about it and training it? Because in the moment we say, for example, that's the easy way to do it. I have another answer I'm going to show you just for a second. Because what oftentimes they pull out is they pull out this scripture. Go with me to Corinthians. And we're going to go to the 13th chapter, and we'll go and we'll just do some more stuff next week within all of this. But here's the thing, is we're looking at the 13th chapter, and there's nothing that drives me more crazy, and forgive me for this is probably fleshly, but this isn't like the marriage passage. It's good, and it should be in every marriage. But context is important in the midst of this. He's just finished talking about, okay, the gifts of the Spirit. He's talking about, for example, are all apostles in verse 29, are all prophets, are all teachers, and he goes through these things, and the rhetorical question is no. By the way, those are talking about offices and functions within the house. And when it says, do all speak with tongues, that's not talking about the fact that, because the answer to that question is no. What that's referring to is coming into a household and having the gift of tongues operate, and then somebody has an interpretation. The gift of tongues cannot operate on its own in that form. There are two forms. There is our heavenly language when we were filled with the Holy Spirit and we begin to speak in tongues, that heavenly language, which Paul talks about and others talk about the fact of building ourselves up in the most holy faith. And that is not what this is referring to here. This is the one that goes with the fact of it is the kitty corner, if you'd say, it's linked to interpretation. Scripture tells us that we should not get up and basically speak in tongues in that way if we are not ready to ask the Holy Spirit for an interpretation. That doesn't mean we have to have it, but somebody has to have an interpretation today. Paul goes on to talk about the fact that I would rather than in other words, what was happening in the Corinthian church, they were just all getting together, they were coming together, they were so excited because they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they were speaking in tongues. And it was just awesome and awesome and awesome, and they'd get together because everybody else thought they were probably crazy and whatnot with God, what God was doing in the midst of it all, but they'd come to church and these are my people and they just start speaking in tongues everywhere. And what he was saying is that, listen, this isn't going to help anybody. If a stranger, he talks about, if someone from the outside, if you bring a friend with you, what are they going to get from this?
Not only, he even uses the word crazy. Not only are they going to think you're doing that, you're like that, but they're going to get nothing. He says, I would rather that you all, what? Prophesied. And that reason is because that word then comes forth and brings forth life in that moment, right? According to what he was saying. So if you look though, and you get through these and you get to the love chapter and it goes through and he says, let's look at verse 31 first from chapter 12, but earnestly desire, what, remember? Okay, we're going to go for it. We're going to ask Holy Spirit, which one should I begin to work on with you? You beginning to exercise that gift inside of me. Desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And then he starts talking about the fact of love. He goes, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. In other words, have you ever been in a room where somebody's trying to talk and somebody's over on the other side and they are so loud you can't even hear yourself? Or what would happen if we walked into and we were all just chatting in a room and somebody came in with a big, 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 one of those little psh, and just started walking over, how you doing? Psh, in this, we would be like, what are you doing? This is what he's talking about here, is that you could have, but if you don't have love, you become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Now, that's not talking about God's trying to take away your identity in him. Okay, he's talking about the fact that you're not accomplishing anything. Nothing's going on. It's not helpful. And though I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, so it goes through all this thing. Then it starts going in verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. And it goes through and gives us all these descriptions. And we get down to number 8, and it says this: love never fails. And then all of a sudden, at the end of that, he goes right back into talking about this. But where there are prophecies. So the beginning of 13:1 is prophecies. When you get down to 8, he starts talking again about the gifts of the Spirit. So what he's telling us in that moment is the gifts that you have got to be saturated in love. And these little things that he shows us in the midst of this is how we are to function in our gifts. Whether it's prophecy or whatever it is that we have, we have got to have them saturated in love. He goes on to say this, and this is the part where I was just talking about people think it's not for today. Now, ready? But whether they are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge. Okay, so we've just talked about the gift of knowledge. We talked about the gift of tongues, and we talked about prophecies, right? In that way. And it will vanish away. And so what they say in that moment is, see, it's not meant to be forever. And then, in fact, they go on to say, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. And they skip quickly over this next verse. And when that which is perfect has come, when that which is in part will be done away with. And then they go back to the other one. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. And they use things like these gifts or the tongues or all these things. It's just childish stuff. We need to walk into maturity. However, look at it again. Go back to verse 10. But when that which is perfect has come. Didn't say that who is perfect. Read scripture carefully. That which is perfect. What's that talking about? Let's go over again. We're going to go over to verse number 12. For now I see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. When is that talking about? When and where? It's referring to heaven. It's referring to the end. It's referring to that time in there. So it's saying, let me ask you something. Will we need tongues when we're in heaven? No. Well, we won't need tongues because we'll have this language together and whatever. Will we need prophecy? Will you have to come up and we have prophets in heaven? No. I wonder what my job's going to be. You know, different things at times, because we will know, it says. We will know. Do I need to have the word of knowledge so that I could understand? No, we will understand and we will know. And then the reference is that our how we will know and how much we will know, it will feel like back when we were on earth, that the way that we had prophecies and the way that we had the word of knowledge, it was as if we were, it was childlike in the trueness of the new knowledge that we have now. So this is not talking about the fact that they will stop now. It's talking about when heaven comes, when that moment comes, they will stop. They will be unnecessary in that moment. And then if you look at this, this is fascinating. Watch this. And then I shall know him, verse, end of verse 12, just as I am known. And now abide, what's the three? I have read this verse so many times, but watch it in a different way. And now abide faith, hope, and love. So let me ask you something. Do we need faith in heaven? You don't need faith in heaven. Everything's right in front of you. You've believed. Everything is there. You're in that place. I don't have to have faith to believe to watch something happen. Do I need hope when I'm in heaven? No. Heaven is the realization of my hope. I don't need that. But will I have love? Will I need love? You better believe it, because it says right there, that love these three, but the greatest of these is love. See, we're just now learning to practice what we'll be like in heaven. That everything we do and everything we say, we're so saturated with love that when I prophesy and when I speak, my intention is always to bring life, always to bring life. Correction can be done in a way, but it's done, listen to me. I don't use the prophetic for correction. I don't walk up saying, thus saith the Lord, you should not do this. I am in connection. I am in relationship with that person. And if I should be able to just go up and talk to them, but it is the word of God that corrects us. We don't need to prophesy. It's when I see people that just want to prophesy and it's all negative. It's something where we learn that no, we are to be filled with, yes, now faith, yes, hope and love, but so saturated with love that our prophetic turns around and says to somebody, you know what? I can't describe how I felt when you said that at that moment. I want to change, Lord. I want to be transformed, God. I want to become more like you, Jesus. Forgive me. And all of a sudden we find that that word that brought life to them in that moment is convicting of sin. It is convicting in their heart, but it is a way that draws them to God and not pushes them away. I can't tell you how many people have told me when they find out that I'm prophetic, they're like, ooh, they're a little scared, because their knowledge of prophetic is this guy on the street that's screaming and yelling. And I'm telling you, although there is a place for some of that, to me, the prophetic is not, it's not the place for it. And we'll talk about next week a little bit more, but can you imagine what the body would be like if we started functioning in all the gifts of the Spirit? Stand with me today. I pray that I have given you just a little taste. When we do classes on this, for those of you that are new with us, we're going to, in the next season, we're going to begin to do classes again. And that's where we activate, and that's where it's a safe place. And so one of the things I would say to this, I'll remind you of this. If somebody comes in our midst and they can say a whole lot of things and they can pray and they can see things, please, 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 please don't think that that means that everything is just okay. I don't want us to start judging people. You understand my heart in this. I want to protect us as a congregation. I want it to be that we understand, if you're like, well, this guy came up to me and he was, or this girl came up to me and they were praying and they said this, and you know what? I didn't have an okay feeling inside. Don't push that down. Don't push that away. Don't judge, right? We're not there to judge. But don't push that away. Just sit there and say, Lord, help me. And sometimes when If God turns around and is going to do something, he's going to confirm it many times. He will confirm it many times. Look at me. He loves to confirm his word. He loves to confirm his prophetic words to us. Amen? So, Father, we just pray right now. We're so grateful that you sent Jesus to us. And Jesus, as much as it would have been difficult for the disciples to have heard you say, "It's better for you if I go," they would have been, "No way, absolutely not." But Lord, if you would not have gone at that moment, Holy Spirit could not have come and filled hundreds of thousands of people to take the gospel everywhere they went. Lord, I am so grateful that you have sent now your Holy Spirit to us. Lord, I pray for those that are on this journey still, and maybe they're like, I don't even think I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Then all you need to do is, like so many have done, is even if you're by yourself in your room and saying, "Holy Spirit, I ask you to come and fill me. And in faith believing, I receive you, Holy Spirit." And then begin to walk with him and talk with him and listen. And so, Lord, I thank you for so many things that you're about to do. But God, I pray that as you begin to bring to the forefront so many of these gifts of the Spirit in each and every one of them, that we recognize that we need each other because we need to function as a body, that we would all have the gifts that we need in that moment to be able to do what you are asking us to do. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.